Morning, everyone. Today's daffin kedushin is Ayin Gimel. We're nine base and base. We're towards the top. I'm going to thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daff. Let's turn our attention to the top of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and we are starting with Psukim in Yechezkel. Just as a slightly more macro discussion that we had in the Gemara yesterday. So yesterday we learned a little geography, although I'm going to admit I didn't learn a lot yesterday in terms of geography. Map would be more helpful than just a basic understanding of... We got basics out of it, at least I did, yesterday in terms of the parameters above. But again, we discussed the parameters above. The reason why we did that is for Yichus. Yichus has been the topic of discussion since the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin, and it will continue to be the discussion. Today is going to be one of the more fundamental days in the fourth parak, where the Gemara is going to be discussing some of the most basic issues regarding Mamzer and Suffolk Mamzer. That is going to be more or less today's topic. But Yichus became the issue because the Gemara noted that when Ezra left Bavel, so he took everyone who had any type of questionable Yichus, he took together with him in Eretz Yisrael. So that meant that in terms of Bavel, Bavel had a tremendous pedigree when it came to Yichus. As much as the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael objected to it, and we saw that yesterday. Rav Yochanan absolutely objected to this idea that Eretz Yisrael does not enjoy the same type of pedigree as Bavel. But Bavel has the highest pedigree of Yichus. That was the Gemara. So as long as we mentioned that Bavel has Yichus, so then the Gemara actually laid out the parameters of what exactly are the borders of Bavel regarding this halach of Yichus. And the Gemara then, as it discussed back in Gittin, and it's discussing over here as well, had the discussion of whether or not there's a corollary between the halachas of Yichus and also the halachas of Befanenechtam, the first sugya of the Gemara in Gittin, and whether or not Bavel, the same borders apply for both halachas. We are going to be segueing for just a couple of minutes into Divrei Agadata and Drush. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel. So we're going to take a small break, a short break from the... Not really. The first drush is going to be Yichus related, but then after that, we're going to go off on a small tangent, and then we're going to come back to the discussion of Yichus. So we're quoting right now a pasuk in Yechezkel. Vayiki navi upalatayu ben Benayahu meis v'apol penai ve'ezak kol gadol v'amar ehei ad Hashem Elokim. Okay, so the pasuk from Yechezkel describes the death of a personality. His name was Pataya ben Benayahu, and Yechezkel was distraught over the death of such an individual. Now, why was Yechezkel's reaction? Why do you have such a reaction? So, Rav Shmuel, Charam al Tov, Charam al Ra. So, Rav Shmuel have a debate, and you're going to find this very often. Rav Shmuel having basically polar opposite positions regarding Ishei Tanakh, the beginning Megillah. You'll see a lot of that. Rav and Shmuel, Rav says, right, the Achashosh is Melchitpesh. One says he was a Melchacham. Okay, so literally polar opposite viewpoints regarding various personalities. So here you have it as well. Rav and Shmuel have dissenting viewpoints in terms of this personality. Mandar Melatova. So now, Latova, meaning... The Navi was wailing over his death, and it was a real loss. Why? So the Gemara tells a background story, and that is that we have a certain governor of Meshan. Now you remember Meshan? Meshan, we discussed yesterday the four counties, if you will, of Bavel. Counties is not the best way to describe it, but areas. Okay, so the four nations that are around the Bavel area, Bavel, of course, being the best, and Meshan not being good. So the, all right, Meshan was dead, right? That's what we saw yesterday. So there was a governor of Meshan, and he happened to have been Chassid Nebuchadnezzar Hava. So he was also the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. So a little nepotism, that's fine. So Shalchle Mikule Haishav Yadasis Lach, Lo Shadatach Lan, Dekaila Kaman Bai Lishadur Le Yisrael. So he had a complaint. He wrote a letter to his uncle, and he said to his uncle, "Dear Uncle Nebuchadnezzar, you're not sending us enough slaves. We need more slaves over here. We need more of a workforce, a cheap workforce." Very cheap. And so send us slaves, and specifically send us Jewish slaves as well. So that's what he demanded. So Amar Lei Pelatayu Ben Benayahu. So now Pelatayu Ben Benayahu is now going to intercede on behalf of this petition, on this request, and he writes the following. He says the following. Anan dechashvin aneku mikamach. So he says to Nebuchadnezzar, no, we can't leave here. Meaning, we're here in Bavel. We don't want to go to Meshan. Meaning, and it's because of our loyalty to you that we'd prefer to stay here in Bavel and not go to Meshan. So neku mikamach hacha. So that is what he did. So basically what he did is he stopped the slave trade, if you will, of Jews to go from Bavel to be taken into Meshan. Now, and that's why Yechezkel said, man was a tzaddik. Stop Jews being deported to Meshan. So that is one version of why it is that Yechezkel reacted to his death. Mandam alara. Now the one who said that he was not good. Dichsev atavosi el shar beis Hashem hakad moni apone kadima vihine bepesach hashar esrim v'cham misha ish v'era besocham es yazna ben ezer v'es platayu b'menayahu. Sorry ha'am. Okay, so we have a group of people in the Beis HaMikdash, 25, together with the Navi identifies two of them. One of the two that the Navi identifies is our person that we're discussing, Pelatayu ben Benayahu. Uksiv ayavosi al chatzir Beis Hashem apnimis v'inei Pesach Heichal Hashem ben ha'ulam ben ha'mezbech kesrim v'chamisha isha achareihem el Heichal Hashem upneihem kedma. So then, again, just a little more on the Pesukim in Yechezkel. Again, the same description of the 25 men in the Azara, and they were facing east, which is not a good direction to be facing in the Beis HaMikdash, especially if you're in the Azara. If you're facing east, that means that your back is towards the Heichal.
In the Heichal?
Huh?
Are they allowed in the Heichal?
Generally, no, but they were. Now, Yechezkel himself was a Kohen, so could be these others were calling him as well. Anyway, Mimasha Shanambo Fanam Kane Maina Yadesha Khrim Kape Marav. So now if they're facing east, so don't we know that their backs were towards the west, meaning that seems to be pretty obvious and superfluous. To which the Gemara responds, Matamalamar. So what exactly is being said over here? Matamalamar Kharehem, El Hekal Hashem Lamed, Shayum Afrim Atmam Umatrizan Atmam Kape Mala. So they would do something which was tremendously horrendous, and they would actually reveal themselves and relieve themselves in the direction of the Heichal. Right, we saw this same Lamar. The Kamenavi Misha Asar Razos Bisol Yamos Amitaso, and to that Yechezkel said, now in this version, obviously, this puts him as somebody who is exactly what the avera that was committed, aside from just, you know, sheer insolence, but and insubordination, but maybe this is giduf, maybe it's blasphemy. Okay, however you want to state it, but clearly not a good person. So, and to that Yechezkel said, I cannot believe that he just died peacefully in his bed. Meaning that hard to imagine. So anyway, so that's two different versions, literally polar opposites, about this person and why Yechezkel reacted to this person. To which the Gemara now says, now, the way it always is laid out is that Rav and Shmuel have two different opinions, but the Gemara on these types of debates generally do not connect which one was Rav, which one was Shmuel, and the Gemara now is going to connect the dots. It's time to Shmuel, Da'amar, Lira'ah. Shmuel is taking the position of Ra'ah. Why? Da'amar, Rebbe Chia Barav, and Amar Shmuel, Mushkani, Harehi, Kigola, Liyuchsim. So Mushkani, which is a town that we talked about yesterday, so shares the same status as Bavel, meaning tremendous pedigree, great pedigree. Mishon lo chashu lo mishom avdus v'lo mishom mamzeres. Now, if you go to Mishon, so you don't have to worry about avdus and you don't have to worry about mamzeres. Eliko hanim shayuba lo hikpido al grushos lo olam. The only thing I could say about Mishon is that the Kohanim married grushos, so the children are chalalim, and that's not good, but not mamzer, manat avadim. So now the Gemara points out, so obviously Well, it's not going to be so obvious, but let's for now say it. Obviously, Shmuel's taking the latter viewpoint, not the former viewpoint. Why? Because in the former viewpoint, what he did was instead of sending the Jews over to Meishan, what he did is he sent the Avadim over to Meishan. So according to the first version, there was actually an influx of Avadim, actual Avadim, who were sent to Meishan. And those Avadim ended up marrying Jews, presumably. And so the Gemara now says, Em lecha Shmuel, So the Gemara says not you connected the dots, but you know the connection is not it's not absolute. Meaning, we could say that Shmuel holds like the first viewpoint, that what the Jewish people of Bavel did is they sent their slaves over to Meishan. And we can also say that there are absolutely no avadim in Meishan. How can we say all that? Ushmul tamid amar. So the Gemara says, because this gets onto a halacha regarding how to free a slave. Hamafkir avdo yasal echeres v'nitzarech get shichra. Shmuel's of the opinion that when you free your slave and declare him hefker, ownerless, so that is the immediate emancipation, and there's no requirement of get shichur. Shenemar kol eved ish miknas kesef, eved ish velo eved isha, ele eved sheyesh lo rishos l'rabo, alav kari eved, eved shein l'rabo rishos alav ein kari eved. Meaning, basically the drasha is, when the Torah says, the eved of an ish, what do you mean to tell me? A woman can't own a slave? Of course she can. She can own property, she can own slaves. So it means that when there is an owner, there is somebody who financially owns the individual, so he's an eved. Once there's no longer a rishus, once there's no longer ownership, he by definition is no longer eved, and it's a de facto. He goes free. According to Shmuel, doesn't need to get shichur, and he immediately goes free. And all those avadim who were shipped off from Bavel to Meishan, truth be told, is that they were avadim, but the moment they were shipped off, so Rashi over here describes that there was Yeush, that at that point the owners, you know, the nephew of Nebuchadnezzar is basically commandeering their slaves. So they at that point realize, okay, we're not getting them back. So there was Yeush, there was Hefkerus, and so therefore they immediately went free. And so Shmuel's other statement can be also correct, that in Mishon there are no avadim, period. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, we are continuing in the Gemara. We're on Ayin Beis Amud Beis. We're now at the lower half of the Amud. First words in the line is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Zu divrei Rabbi Meir. Avachachamim omrim kol haratzos becheskes kasher seim omdim. Omdos. We had our Mishnah, and our Mishnah said that that there are 10 classifications of Jews who left Bavel, who were taken out of Bavel and went to Eretz Yisrael together with Ezra. And that means then that as far as Eretz Yisrael and Shaar Ratzos, so there is a state of suffix in terms of Yichus. And now what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is telling us is that is our Mishnah, is the opinion of Rav Meir. And that makes sense. Our Mishnah Rav Meir. So that's fine. But our Mishnah does, I'm sorry, but the Chachamim disagree with our Mishnah. Okay. I'm sorry. Ravuna Barnasan Lamintsev Issa Mechuzyasa. Amemar allowed Ravuna Barnasan to marry a woman from Mechuza. Now Mechuza, even though we generally assume that Mechuza is part of Bavel, and that's true, but Mechuza is not part of Bavel proper. Meaning all the parameters, all the boundaries that we went over yesterday, Mechuza is not in that perimeter. So, but still, what Amemer did is he allowed Rav Huna Bar Nosson to marry this woman from Mechuza. Amalei Rav Ashi, my detech, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Zudiv Rav Meir. Now, to which Amemer's psak was questioned. How could you say that? We have our Mishnah. Our Mishnah tells us that if you're in Bavel, that's fine. But if you're living outside of Bavel, so the Yichus is questionable. So how could you just simply allow him to do that? And is it because of the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that limits our Mishnah to the Shita of Rav Meir, and the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir? Is that it? Ava Chachamim Amamim Kol Haratzos Beches Kshir Tzein Omdim V'ha Be Rav Kahana Lomas Nehachi U'Be Rav Papa Lomas Nehachi U'Be Rav Zvid Lomas Nehachi. And I'll give you a litany of Amoraim who are all of the opinion that no, our Mishnah is not just Shitas Yachid. Our Mishnah is the Halacha. So lo kibla minei, and a Maimer heard all this and didn't accept any of it. Meaning he was in firm, he's of the firm opinion that our Mishnah is a das yachid of Reb Meir, and the Chachamim disagree. Mishum d'shmeil emir razvid d'narda, because he heard it from a different razvid. So, and the different razvid he heard it from was from Narda, which no coincidence, meaning that was the yeshiva of Shmuel, and so he believes, a Maimer believes that he had a good Kabbalah from Shmuel, that our Mishnah is a das yachid. Tanu Rabbanan. We're now moving back to the topic of Yichus. I mean, we already did with the statement of Yehuda Mashmuel. Now we're moving back to the topic of Yichus and an interesting Gemara coming up about what's going to happen in the future. Tanu Rabban Mamzer and Nesinim, the Tarim lasted love of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is of the opinion that our Mamzerim and our Nesinim are going to be purified in the future. That is Rav Yosef's Shita. And as we will see in just a moment, the halacha falls like Rav Yosef. Now, this is Hilchus de Mashicha, meaning we don't get this that often from the Gemara, where the Gemara is telling us what the halacha will be b'zman Mashiach. In fact, the Gemara, generally speaking, is not interested in Hilchus de Mashicha. Generally speaking, when the Gemara is talking about here's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes, the Gemara usually objects, and the Gemara says Hilchus de Mashicha, meaning usually those words are followed by a question. Meaning, okay, we're living life right now here, meaning before Zman HaMashiach, and when Mashiach comes, so then we'll figure it out. So it is interesting in general how the Gemara is having this discussion, and it's not a discussion, it's a machlokas tanayim in terms of what's going to happen to the Mamzerim. Another interesting point is the Rishonim discuss and debate when we say that there will, according to Rav Yossi, there's going to be Taharas HaMamzerim. Does that mean a Mamzer Vadai? Or does it just simply mean Sufik Mamzerim? Right? The Asufi, the Shasuki, those people who are not really that clear in terms of what the Yichus is. So that's another discussion amongst the Rishonim. But anyway, Shitas Rav Yossi is that there's going to be Taharas Mamzerim Bizma Lavel. Rav Meir Amar Ein Taharim, and Rav Meir says, no, not going to happen. Meaning, whatever the status is, the status will perpetuate even Bizman HaMashiach. Amla Rav Yosef Alok for Namar Vizrak Alechem Ein Taharim, Utahartem, Mikoltem. I was just reading on the Pasuk. Okay, Utahartem, etc., etc. So, what about the Pasuk in Yecheskel? The Pasuk in Yecheskel seems to indicate that Bizman HaMashiach, there will be a Tahara. So what are you going to do with that pasuk, Rav Meir? So I'm a Rav Meir, kishu amra, but mikol to mosechem, umikol gilu lechem, v'lom min hamamzerim, hamamzeris. So Rav Meir says, yeah, you read the pasuk. The pasuk tells us that there will be a tahara. The tahara will be from avodah zarah. There won't be avodah zarah b'zman HaMashiach. Fine. Mamzeris is still being. Amal Rav Yosef Kishu Omer Etayr Eschem Have Over Af Min Mamzeris. Yeah, but Rav Yosef says, I also am going to read on in the Pasuk. And the Pasuk concludes by saying, Etayr Eschem, I'm going to be Metayr you. Meaning, I'm not just going to remove the Avodah Zarah, I'm also going to be Metayr you. So Rav Yosef believes that Pasuk is a clear indication that there will be Tahar Samamzerim, Lasa Lavo. Bishlam Rav Meir Hainu Dichsev. Vayesha Mamzer Mashdot. Now, according to Rav Meir, there's a pasuk in Zechariah which we understand. The pasuk indicates that there's going to be a Mamzerim, even Lasilavo. And according to Rav Meir, how can that be? Answer is because there's no Taharas HaMamzerim. So that pasuk works according to Rabbi Meir. Ela Rav Yossi, Ma Vayesha Mamzer Mashdot. So, but if you are of the opinion of Rav Yossi, there will be no more Mamzerim, Lasilavo. So, how do you understand the pasuk in Zechariah? So the Targum Rav Yosef, so the Gemara takes out its old trusted Targum on the Navi, Rav Yosef, and Yasin Beis Yisrael Leruchsin Ba'areihon. So the Jewish people are going to be settling in their land. Davudama Ba Lenuchran. It was foreign to them, meaning they were unfamiliar with it, and they're going to end up settling these lands. Simply put, the word mamzer over there is not to be taken super literally. It doesn't mean literally a mamzer, but it's by way of analogy. It just means like a mamzer, somebody who's foreign to us. The land of Eretz Yisrael is going to be something which is seemingly foreign to us. I'm Rav Yudah Mashmuel, Lachika Rav Yossi. And as I mentioned earlier, but here's the Gemara that says it, the Gemara paskins on this, that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. So, I'm Rav Yosef, Ilamda Am Rav Yudah Mashmuel, Lachika Rav Yossi. And then the Gemara makes one more comment on this, and that is that, look, if Rav Yosef had not said that the halacha is If Rav Yosef is saying, had Rav Yehuda Mishmol not said the halachas like Rav Yosef, hava asel yal mapik minan, sirvani psavani, kol arin. What would happen in the time of the Mashiach is that Eliyahu would come and he would basically be carting off many, many Jews who were in the state of Mamzerim. So it's good that the halacha falls like Rav Yosi, so that the La'asid Lava, Bizman and Mashiach, we're all going to be able to live together. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara now we're about to start really is the beginning of today's daf, and it also is some of the most basic Gemaras in terms of who's allowed to marry whom. Okay. The basic issue that's coming up in the Gemara right now is how to categorize a ger. We've discussed this before. It's not the first time in the Masechta we're discussing this, but the Gemara here now, this is the main central location of this discussion, and that is how to put what category to put a ger under. Let's understand. A mamzer, a Jew is not allowed to marry a mamzer. It's a pasuk in the Torah, it's in Parshas Kiseitse. The Torah says that a ger cannot marry, I'm sorry, I'm not up to ger yet. A Jew cannot marry a mamzer, and it doesn't matter whether the mamzer is a male or it's a female, mamzer or mamzeres. There's an issur in the Torah for a Jew to marry a mamzer. That's clear. However, that's when the Torah coins this issur in the Torah. The Torah says, lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem. The mamzer is not allowed to enter into Kal Hashem. So, in order for there to be a prohibition, so a Jew has to be under the rubric of what's called a kahal, congregation. The fundamental question which the Gemara is going to deal with is the following. A ger converts, he's a Jew. And for almost all intents and purposes, he's a recognized Jew. Chayv and all the mitzvahs in the Torah, right, bound by all the Yisurim, counts towards a minyan, gets an aliyah, etc., etc. He's a Jew. However, the only thing that is open for a discussion, which we're about to have right now, is that when the ger converts, does he fall under this umbrella, under this category of kahal? Okay? It's meaning it could be that the ger converts, and he'll be a full-fledged Jew, and he's allowed to marry more or less whomever he wants. A ger can't marry a kohen. A gioris can't marry a kohen. But in other words, full-fledged Jew, but maybe doesn't get this status, this label of kahal. Now, in terms of explaining this reasonably or rationally, using a svara, it's hard to say. The Gemara is really going to be fixated on Pesukim and Drushas. And so, I guess we'll just leave it at that. Meaning, without giving any type of depth of understanding, we'll just simply say it's a question of Drusha, whether or not a gear falls under the status of kahal. Now, on one hand, if he falls under the status of Kal, so then a ger can't marry a mamzer or a mamzeres, because lo yavo bekal Hashem. On the other hand, if a ger does not fall under this category of kahal, so then a ger can marry a mamzeres. Okay. This, and we'll do the machlokas in the Gemara in just a moment. This presents an interesting consequence, which is a ger, if you maintain, which by the way the halacha is going to be, that a ger doesn't fall under the category of kahal, that's going to be the halacha. So that means then that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Now that's ken. Should a ger marry a mamzeres? A discussion. Not in the Gemara. A discussion that takes place after the Gemara. Should a ger marry a mamzeres? So even though you're allowed to, but consider the consequences. If a ger marries a mamzeres, what's going to happen? Their children are going to be a mamzerim. So it leads to a perplexing issue of, on one hand, the marriage is fully sanctioned, but on the other hand, the resulting children are going to be mamzerim. So is that condoned? Is that encouraged? So I leave that question open-ended because I know it's a machlokas amongst the poskim, but it's something to consider in this discussion. Right, that good. I'm with you. Meaning, it means a congregation. So a Jew born a Jew is part of the kahal. A ger, as again, it's subject to a debate. But one opinion is not part of the kahal. Whatever that means. Hard for me to put it in terms.
That's 17th.
Something like that. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmol. I did that already. I'm sorry. Third to last line on Ein Beis Amud Beis. Last two words. Tana Rabbanan. So, without getting into what I just did with the explanation of kal, etc., etc., Rav Yossi just simply says the halacha, which is a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Divrei Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda omer ger lo yisa mamzeres, and Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Echad ger, echad eved meshuchrar v'chalal mutarim be'kohenes. And then the next halacha, which is divrei hakol, is that a ger and a freed slave and a chalal is allowed to marry a kohenes. Meaning, simply put, all the restrictions of who a kohen may not marry is specific to a male kohen. A female kohen, a kohenes, is allowed to marry all these men, chalal, ger, etc., etc. The reason why is very simple, meaning that when the Torah prohibits a kohen from marrying isha, zona, chalala, I did it reversed. Isha, zona, v'chalala lo yikachu. So that injunction, that isser in the Torah, is specific to the male kohanim. Female kohanim are not under that isser. Ledugmah, just as an example, Thomas Mace. Right? A Kohen can't go into a cemetery. But that Isser in the Torah is only for male Kohanim. Female Kohanim are allowed to go in the cemetery. Female Kohanim are allowed to be part of the Chevra Kedisha. So the Bryce over here says that a Kohenis is allowed to marry a Ger, an Eved Meshuchrar, and a Chala. Now, let's go back to the Machlokas over here in this Bryce. Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, whether or not a Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Rav Yossi says yes, Rav Yehuda says no. My time into Rav Yossi, what is the reason behind Rav Yossi? Chamisha Kahal Ksiva. It says Kahal in the Torah five times. Now Rashi notes, I did the math, said Rashi, I did the research, and Rashi says, it really says it six times. Okay, so, and it can't be because the Gemara says five. So obviously we're going to have to discount one of those six. So if you take a look at the very bottom Rashi, on the Amud, Rashi does the legwork for us. Chamisha Kalatziva, Gabi Azars, Psula Yuchsen, regarding lineage. So Rashi says, lo yava mamze bekal Hashem, that's one kahal. Lo yava lo bekal, that's the second. Lo yava amoni moavi bekal, that's the third. Lo yava lahem bekal, that's the fourth. Dor shlishi yava lahem bekal, that's the fifth. Mitzri ve'adomi, Dor shlishi yava lahem bekal, de mitzri ve'adomi. Okay, now, so that is five. Five kahals. Now, v'kal degabe p'tzua daka, lo chashiv. Now, there is a sixth time in the Torah where the Torah uses the word kal, but Rashi says that you have to say it's just simply not counted. Why? Because the labim p'sula yuchsin kamishtai. Because p'tzua daka is a physical deformity of the male that prohibits him, from marrying a woman. But that's not a yichus issue. That's a physical deformity issue. So that's not counted in this count of five. Okay? So now that we have five kahals, so now chamisha kalik sive. So chad le kohanim, chad levim, chad le yisraelim, chad le mishrei mamzer b'shesuke, v'chad le mishrei shesuke b'yisrael. So now, after having gone through all five, we're going to now apply. Who is included in this kahal? One for Kohanim, two for Levim, three for Yisraelim. Now, that's one, two, and three. Why can't that all be just considered one? So Rashi explains, because here's what I would have thought. If the Torah only would have said Kahal once, I would have said, okay, who's really holy? Who has extra restrictions in terms of marriage? I know, Kohen. Oh, so if I only had one Kahal, I would have applied it to the Kohen, and that's it. A second Kahal now tells me to include another group. So I would have then said, okay, include the Levi. Although, quite frankly and honestly, the Levi doesn't have restrictions of who they can and cannot marry. But okay. But let's just say, because the Gemara does, so then I would have included a Levi. A third Kahal now is coming to tell me Yisrael. Fine. So the first three references of Kahal is a reference to Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. Number four, Chad l'mishrei mamzer b'shesuki. A mamzer is allowed to marry a shesuki. Shesuki, as we discussed back in the Mishnah, is a child who does not know who his father is. Knows who his mom is, but does not know who his father is. The term shesuki, as we discussed back then, is when he calls out to his father, his mom hushes him, because mom is telling him, that's not your dad. think it's your dad, but it's not your dad. And Chad LeMishrei Shesuki BeYisrael, and a Shesuki is allowed to marry a Yisrael. Now, 4 and 5, if you think about it, 4 and 5 are going to be perplexing. Meaning, not 4 by itself, and not 5 by itself, but specifically 4 and 5. 4 is telling us that, what is a Shesuki? Well, we don't know. We don't know what a Shesuki is, meaning he doesn't know what his father is. And the concern is, maybe the father is somebody who is prohibited to the mother, and the resulting child is a mamzer. Meaning, a Shesuki is basically a suffix mamzer. Just wait 1 second. If 4 is a suffix mamzer, I'm sorry, a Shesuki is a suffix mamzer. Now, in 4, what we're saying is that the Kahal is coming to tell me that a Shesuki is allowed to marry a mamzer. Why? Let's just say it out. So, because a Shesuki may in fact himself be a mamzer. And so therefore, a questionable mamzer is allowed to marry a mamzer. 5 is telling us that a Shesuki is allowed to marry Yisrael. That, so now, if you think about it, you realize, wait 1 second. If the Shesuki is a suffix mamzer, so now, pick one. Either allow the Shesuki to marry a mamzer, because we're going to lean more to the side that the Shesuki is a mamzer, so therefore, matzah minus mino, it's a match, it's a shidduch, or tell me that more probably the Shesuki is not a mamzer, and therefore allow the Shesuki to marry Yisrael. It's when you put 4 and 5 together, you think to yourself, that's strange. So, I'm just, all I'm doing is just highlighting how interesting it is. I'm not asking a question, not giving an answer. I'm just simply observing that the Shesuki, it's very interesting where, on one hand, they give him full license to marry a mamzer, and at the same time, they give the Shesuki a license to go ahead and to marry a Yisrael.
Actually, a more fundamental question. How could Shesuki marry anybody, including your sister, if he doesn't know his father?
Okay, the Gemara's going to ask that question. Okay, good. So, now, we've taken the 5 kahals mentioned in the Torah. We've applied them to 5 different scenarios. We've run out of kahals. No more kahals. So now the Gemara points out, kahal gerim lo iker kahal. So we don't have a kahal anymore to apply towards gerim, which is Shitas Rav Yossi. That's exactly what is the basis of the halacha of Rav Yossi, in that now that we don't have any more kahal, so when you're a ger, you are now, you're allowed to marry a mamzeres because you're not part of the kahal. And Rav Yehuda, Kohan of Levi mechad kal nafke. Yasser Yehuda. Yasser leila kal gerim. So now, in terms of the explanation of Rav Yehuda, so it's very simple. It's an accounting issue. So now that we have 5 kahal, so we'll take 1 kahal, we'll apply to Kohen and to Levi, and it could really fit into the point I made earlier, because by Levi, there's no real. There's no specific Isser marriage by Levi. So in other words, Levi could be lumped together with Kohen. And anyway, so that leaves you now with another Kal, and that will be applied towards Gerim. Or another accounting issue is that maybe Kohen and Levi really are 2, 1 and 2. And maybe 4 and 5 really are 1. Meaning that the idea that a Shesuki can marry a mamzer, or a Shesuki can marry Yisrael, that's generated from one point, and so therefore that leaves another kahal, and that will be applied towards the gerim. Lo yavam mamzer bekal shem mamzer vadehu de lo yavo hamamzer safek yavo yavo bekal vadehu de lo yavo ha bekal safek yavo. And the reasons for this, now in other words, now the Gemara is going to explain to us how can 4 be right and how could 5 be right, meaning. You can have a Shesuki marrying a mamzer, and you can have a Shesuki marrying Yisrael, and how can both be right? So the Gemara explains it's very simple. Because, well, it's actually not, I take that back. Boy, do I take that back. It's not very simple. But the Gemara explains like this. When the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry a mamzer, the only Isser in the Torah is somebody who is absolutely and definitively a mamzer. Meaning, if the person is a suffix mamzer, like our Shesuki, so then there's no Isser in the Torah. Now, let me first highlight the next point, and then I'll raise the larger issue. And the same thing is true with Kahal. Meaning, the Torah says a mamzer is not allowed to marry Kahal. When the Torah says that a mamzer is not allowed to marry Kahal, it's only somebody who is definitively a Kahal. But if somebody is a questionable Kahal, so then a mamzer is allowed to marry such an individual. Okay, so basically, the point that the Gemara is making is that the Isser of Mamzer to Kahal is only when they are both definitively known. If there's a suffix on either side, either the Mamzer or the Kahal, so then there's no Isser in the Torah. Which then leads to the broader discussion, which today's the day to discuss it. I'm not going to discuss it at length. In fact, Rabbi Vicky was here the Shabbos. He just spoke about it yesterday morning and after the 8. So what brings us to the larger discussion of where do we normally stand by suffix? When we say that there's a suffix on an Isser Daraisa, so what do we know, generally speaking? Suffix Daraisa L'chumra. That's what we know. We've been trained. We've heard that again and again. Is that a fundamental position? The Rambam says no. The Rambam says that really on a suffix d'oraisa, really it's mutter, and it's only a zera d'rabbanan. Now I say only, by the way, I'm not just, in other words, just in terms of how to view it. It's a zera d'rabbanan that we're going to be machmir. But fundamentally, a suffix d'araisa, it gives us allowance to be mako. Now, many Rishonim, the Rashba, we just heard a shir on it yesterday, many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. The Rashba is at the head of the Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. I'm sure that's a discussion for today. The many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on his position, and our Gemara obviously is going to be weighing in on this topic of how do we normally view suffix. Is suffix something which is generally mutter, or something, is suffix is something that we're generally usser? It happens to be that in our Gemara, it seems to be, and again, this is the only comment I'm going to make on this machlokus. I want to get through today's daf. But it seems to be that our Gemara is signing with the Rashba over the Rambam. Why? Because we have a special drasha in our Gemara that speaks to the idea that a suffix is mutter, meaning it's specific to Mamzer and Kahal, that a suffix is going to be mutter, meaning that the default position is that by a suffix we're going to be machmir. So our Gemara certainly sides... Right, correct. So our Gemara seems to side more with the Rashba than with the Rambam. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on this topic. There's obviously much more to talk about on this issue. Well, let's continue in our Gemara. Fine. Ibai Sam of the Gemara says, Hani Nami Trekali Ninu. So the Gemara says, or we could do the following. Again, we're back to our accounting. Meaning we have five kahals. We're trying to explain the machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, whether a ger is considered part of the kahal. Rav Yossi says no, because he exhausted all five kahals. Rav Yehuda says, we have not exhausted all five kahals. We'll either truncate Cohen and Levi together, or we'll put four and five together. The Gemara gives another approach. The Gemara says maybe the five kahals, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, is going to be used the same way Rav Yossi is concerned as well. He, Rav Yehuda, found a sixth kahal. Now it's funny because we already know about a sixth kahal, but that's by Psua Daka, and Rashi says that's not even open for discussion. So the Gemara says, well, there's actually a sixth kahal, and that is a kahal chuka achas lachem v'lager hagar. So in Parsha Shlach, so the Torah over there describes kahal in reference to a ger. Ula Rav Yossi chuka achas ifsikayin. Now Rav Yossi says, I will not use that pasuk as a source, because if we have the word kahal, but then chuka achas, which is a break, it's a break point in the pasuk, so therefore you cannot connect the word kahal to the ger. Okay, Adkan. That takes us to the end of the machlok between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. In just a moment, the Gemara is going to tell us that halacha falls like Rav Yossi, that a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, meaning a ger is not considered part of kahal. Echad ger ve'echad evi meshuchar ve'chala mutarim b'kohenes. Okay, the next part of the braisa is what we learned, is that if you are a bas kohen or a kohenes, so you are allowed to marry a convert and an evi meshuchar and a chala. So, Misayel Rav, Damar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Huzaruk Sheros Linasi Lepsulim. So, this is support for that which Rav taught us. Rav taught us that the Ksheros, meaning the Kohanos, are allowed to marry those men who are disqualified. Meaning, basically, what we just said. Darash Rabbi Zera Ben Mechuza. Rabbi Zera goes to the town of Mechuzah. Okay, second time today, we're referencing the town of Mechuzah. Now, Mechuzah did not have great genealogy. Well, we have already discussed that today. We're discussing it now another time. And it happens to be a lot of converts in the town of Mechuzah. Okay, a town filled with Gerim. And so Rabbi Zera goes to the town of Mechuzah, and Rabbi Zera is telling over the halacha. Now, I'd love to think, because it's generally how I think, is that you're saying over halacha, you don't have to be apologetic. You just say over the halacha. Okay, some halachas are sensitive, understood, but it's a halacha. What's wrong with that? You'll see from the Gemara that it's very clear that sometimes you have to package, and you have to... Right, you have to... Exactly. You have to know your audience. So Reb Zera goes to the town of Mechuzah, and he says, Ger Muteres Ben Mamzeres. He says, I got great news for you. Meaning, you're not part of Kahal, and you're allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Okay, because the halacha is like Rav Yossi. And that's all Rabbi Zera was saying. But you can understand, I can understand, how the people of Mechuzah would react. Meaning, what? We're allowed to marry a Mamzer, and what does that say about us? Well, again, we in the Daf know what it says, that says about them. Nothing bad. It's just simply, it's a technical point. They're not part of Kahal. However, they were offended, and Ragmu Kule Amma Besargaihu, and the classic response of displeasure, they took their esrogim and they threw it at Rabbi Zera. Okay, that's I guess it was on Sukkot, or it was a much more popular fruit than it is nowadays. So anyway, so they took their esrogim and they threw it at Rabbi Zera. Amar Rava Miika Dedarish Melsa Kihai Beduch Deshchicha Giyure. And in fact, Rabbi says to Rabbi Zera, or makes a general comment, who does that? Who goes into a town of Gerim and says something like that? Meaning, you're not wrong, but you're wrong. you shouldn't just walk into a place of Gerim and say you people are allowed to marry a Mamzerim. It's just simply it's not prudent. Darsh Rava Mechuzah. Now Rava is going to, this is round two, and Rava is basically going to say to every, it's almost like Rava saying to Rabbi Zera, let me show you how it's done. So Rava goes into Mechuzah and he starts off with the following halacha. Ger mutar b'kohanis. Okay. A ger is allowed to marry kohanis. Which again, we learned also, right? That was on the bottom of the previous amud. Fine. And that's a halacha. A ger is allowed to marry kohanis. Now, when they heard that, so they were like, oh, that's great. And we're allowed to marry a bas kohen. Look at that. Ta'anuhu b'shiraye. So they threw silk on top of Rava. Okay, they loved it. Okay, literally showered him with silk. Now Rava says, now on the flip side, a ger is also allowed to marry a mamzeres. So again, that's a halacha. But over here, it's like he counterbalanced. You're allowed to marry kohenis and you're allowed to marry a mamzeres. Amrulei, asedisu l'kamaisa. So now, even though Rava was basically saying, let me show you how it's done, so the response that he got from the crowd in Mechuzah was, look, all that credit that you got with your first statement, you lost it. You lost it basically because of of the second statement that you said. So Rava says, no, you misunderstood. I did good for you. You have a choice. You can marry this group, you can marry that group, whichever you prefer. And now the Gemara concludes on this matter. Ger mutar b'kohanis and mutar b'mamzeres. A ger is allowed to marry a kohenis. A ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Mutar b'kohenis lahuzuk sheres li'nasi psulim. So the Gemara restates the statement of Rav that we saw earlier, that a bas kohen does not have the azhara of marrying a ger, a cholal, an evan meshuchrar, and umutar b'mamzeres k'Rabbi Yossi. And a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres because we pass like Rabbi Yossi, and that ger does not fall under the category of kahal, and so therefore there is no issur for a ger to marry a mamzeres. Adkan. Elohim Shesuki and Kol Shemakir. The Gemara now is going to be discussing at length a Shesuki. We know, as we discussed earlier this morning, a Shesuki is somebody who does not recognize, who does not know who his father is. Amar of a Dorator Shesuki Kasher. Really, fundamentally, Shesuki is Kasher. My time, huh? Rav Ksherim Etzlam. Umi Epsulim Etzlam. Because, think about it. We don't know who that is. But, now we're going to deal with some basic statistics. Statistically speaking, dad is most probably somebody who is not going to produce a mamzer. Okay, I know they're not married, And obviously that's not good, but that's not going to produce a mamzer. The only thing that produces a mamzer is only a relationship of arayos. And most probably, the dad did not represent that. Now the Gemara says, now we're going to go with our basic rules of tarovis. And that is, if he's coming to her, if dad's coming to her, so called the parish meruba kaparish. So then we have the tried and true rule of rov, meaning then we follow the general statistics, and probably dad is not an erva to mom, and the resulting child is not going to be a mamzer. Mayamart dilma azla ihi ligabayu. So the Gemara says now maybe mom went to him, and now that represents what's called the halacha of kavua, and the rule is havale kavua v'chol kavua kamech v'machzadame. And so therefore, when you have something which is kavua, so then the rule is we throw the statistics out the window, and it becomes a 50-50. So the Gemara says okay, but we know when it comes to issues of mamzerus, even 50-50 is okay, as we discussed earlier, and now we're going to repeat again. V'atar amar lo yavo mamzer. Mamzer vada hu de lo yavo ha mamzer safek yavo. Bikal vada hu de lo yavo ha bikal safek yavo. When it comes to the isurim mamzerim, it's only a definitive mamzer. So even if it's a safek, even if it's 50-50, that's going to be fine. So fundamentally, a shesuki is fine. So now, question. Why does the Shisuki have a lower state of lineage? Why is he on the depth chart low on the Yichus depth chart? So this is what Ben raised earlier, and that is that because he or she doesn't know who his father is, so therefore that person they may end up marrying is going to be their sister or their brother. Okay. Now, Elamiata Shesukis Shesukis Lo Yisa Shem Yisa Choso Me'aviv. So the Gemara says, okay, are you ready to tell me that if you have a male Shesukis, a female Shesukis, so they can't get married because they may be brother and sister? Now we know that's not true. We know that from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us that if you are anywhere in numbers 5 through 10, right? Remember, I told you back in the Mishnah. Basically, there are three circles. So if you are... if you're anywhere between numbers 5 through 10, Ger through Asufi, so you're allowed to marry one another. So of course the Shesukis is allowed to marry Shesukis. But the Gemara says, but why? Meaning, you just entertain the idea that they may be brother or sister. Kolki hani maznuva azle. So the Gemara asks incredulously. Meaning, are you really worried that of all the people in the world, you're going to end up with your brother? And you're going to end up with your sister? So the Gemara says, "Va'azli, ba'shesukis lo yisa shema yisa choso." I'm sorry, kolki ayam is not va'azli. Ba'shesukis lo yisa shema yisa choso me'aviv. So the Gemara says it's just simply it's statistically improbable.
How is this different from the guy?
Ella lo shchicha. So the Gemara says, and the answer is very simple because it's so uncommon. So the Gemara says hachanai lo shchicha. Or the Gemara says if that's true, so then if one of them is a shesuki and the other one is a Yisrael, so I'll say the same thing. It's uncommon. So the Gemara says ella mala asabiyachsin. So the Gemara concedes. The Gemara says you're right. Really, fundamentally, there's no issue. What's the issue? A chumrah. The rabbis imposed a chumrah midrabanan that when it comes to yichus, because of the care and concern that the chachamim had towards yichus, the shesukis is not allowed to marry Yisrael. That's it. Just simply a chumrah. V'amar Rava, let's finish this next part, which is basically going to be the same discussion, but now we're going to be talking about a sufi. Amar Rava, Dvar Torah, a sufi kasher. A sufi, an abandoned child, picked up off the street. My time, Eshesish Bebaal Atola. So now, who are the parents? Now we don't know, but again, now we're going to have to speculate. Statistically, it's probably mom and dad who are married, and for various reasons, they just simply abandoned the child. My ika miot arusos miot shahalach baalem lemedina and lemedina sayam. Now, yes, it's true that the child is abandoned because mom had the child from an illegitimate affair. So the Gemara says that's possible, but came into Ika Panuya Vika Nami Demachans Ravon, have a pago paga. But the Gemara says, but look, chances are that you're gonna abandon the child for other reasons as well. The Gemara says if it's a famine, and God forbid, the parents just simply cannot afford having the child, and they had it, so they're going to abandon the child. And again, the Gemara says, so basically what we're looking at is a suffix. But as we pointed out, by mamzerim, a suffix is fine. And by kahal, a suffix is fine. So really, fundamentally, it's fine. So again, the Gemara makes the same suggestion that we made earlier. Well, really, it's a function of a man to marrying his sister. So the Gemara says, okay, but if you have an abandoned child, who is allowed to marry another abandoned child? So, aren't we worried that they're going to brother and sister are going to meet? So, call Hani Shadiv Azle. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, that's so unlikely. Basa Sufi Lo Yisa Shema Yisa Achoso El Lo Shchiach Hachinami Lo Shchiach. So the Gemara says it's uncommon. The Gemara says, well, if it's uncommon, so even if one is an abandoned child and one is not an abandoned child, so it's also uncommon that brother and sister are made up. El Amala Asabi Yuchsin. So the Gemara says, again, it's a chumrah. A chumrah de rabbanan that the rabbis imposed that a Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Sufi. Why? A chumrah regarding Yichud. Let's just quickly wrap it up. Today we concluded a little bit of Agadata, but then discussed some basic halachic discussions. Regarding Lasid Lava, whether the Mamzerim are going to be Tahir, Rav Yossi says they will be. The Halacha falls like Rav Yossi, even though it's Hilchus of the Mashicha. The basic issue that we covered today is whether or not Eger is considered under this umbrella category of Kahal. Rav Yossi says no. We went through the accounting today of the five Kahals, and the Ger didn't make the cut, so therefore Ger is not part of Kahal, and therefore the Gemara's conclusion is Eger is allowed to marry a Mamzeris. Is that condoned? So I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur today, debatable whether or not that's condoned because you're increasing Mamzerim B'Yisrael. And then the other discussion we had was whether or not a Kohenis is allowed to marry Ger, Chalal, Evan Meshuchar. The answer is yes. The Gemara's conclusion is yes on that as well. And finally, what is the concern of a Shesukin and a Sufi? There is a Suffolk Mamzer. The Gemara says, but as we learned over the course of today's daf, a Suffolk Mamzer is mutter. So why are they prohibited from marrying Yisrael? And the answer for both is Mala Asabi Yuchsen.